Welcome to the KP Podcast, where we talk about the business of real estate, a podcast about leveraging opportunities, growing your business, and experiencing financial freedom. Here are your hosts, Keith Anderson and Peter Tamboukos.
Hey everyone, welcome to the KP Podcast. I'm Pete, sitting here with Keith. We're coming to you from the Forum here in Chandler. And Keith, what's going on in your world lately, man?
Oh man, we had the last couple weeks have been a little bit crazy for the Phoenix metro area, for sure.
We got prime time.
Yeah, this is it, man. The weather's nice. We're hitting 80s almost every single day now here for the next week, which is fantastic. And you start to get the where everybody's coming down. And so Super Bowl just happened. We had the Phoenix Open, and it made national news again with a hole in one on 16 twice, 2 days in a row.
I didn't see it twice. I saw the first one.
The first one, I mean, blew up Twitter and social media and Reddit and everything else. They said they had a rain delay in Arizona.
I saw
because
that.
Because it's 80 degrees, clear skies, but there was so much beer hitting the field.
That was crazy.
And so there's been rumors going around talking about sports where if you want to make golf exciting again, put a box on every single par three in the country. But hole in one on 124-yard course, 16 at the Phoenix Open. Those of you guys have never been to the Phoenix Open.
The People's Open.
Yeah. It is rowdy. 250,000 people there on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Box was packed. And officially like 10,000 beer bottles sitting on the par three that they had to clear off.
It's crazy. And like you said, though, this is that time of year where we've got not only all those events, but we got like Bear Jackson's there. Yes. We got Arabian Horse Show. We got spring training coming up. Yeah, and so,
setting up.
You know, a lot of people coming in. This is kind of, you know, Arizona's prime time. And that drives a lot of that, you know, population growth. We've got nice weather. We don't have any, you know, natural disasters here. We're growing a lot. Jobs are here. You know, it has been affordable, you know, we'll see how that goes. And so that kind of drives, you know, a lot of the growth that we've been having. And you've got some of these lifestyle, you know, things that people love. And so that kind of brings us into what we're talking about today, right? So everybody's been talking, including us, and the big headlines and everything on everybody's minds have been these rising home prices everywhere. And, you know, last year in 2021, Phoenix led the nation. And so we've definitely touched on that several times. But one thing that we haven't spent as much time on is skyrocketing rents, right? And so the rents, again, just to kind of put what those numbers are, Phoenix not only last year was number one in the country for home price appreciation, but we also hit number one in the country for rent increases over 20%. And that national number was somewhere around 15% or so on the rents.
Now, think about it though. Inflation and all these other things are still going to be in an impact, and we're going to chat about that a little bit today. But I'm personally in the market right now. I'm buying a couple investment properties as we speak. Now, I tend to go the vacation rental because of this actually very similar concept is we're now approaching where buying a house here in the East Valley. Let's use the East Valley, for example. Yep. We got Chandler Gilbert. There is literally nothing available under 500 grand now. Definitely nothing under 400. That's been gone for 6 months. Now you can hardly find a 3-bedroom, 2-bath single family residence, like your staple when it comes to just a single family type investment property to rent, right? And now we're struggling. There's a handful in all of Chandler and Gilbert combined under 500 grand. Mm-hmm. So now what that means is even with large down payments and big investments, you're still looking, even with current rates being as low as they are, you're still looking at a $2,000 to $2,400 mortgage with 20 to 25% down on an investment property. Okay. We're not necessarily talking about if you own it cash outright and vice versa. It's normal investment, 25% down, et cetera. These rents have been skyrocketing, like we've talked about. And yet we're now getting to the point where these prices are getting crazy and rents are right there neck and neck.
Yeah. So what's somebody supposed to do, right? You got rents that are approaching now. Well, and we talked about before where you've got now with the mortgage rates rising, those are starting to catch each other, you know, which we didn't have before. So that makes it tough all the way around. But at the end of the day, everyone needs to live somewhere. You need shelter, you know, whether that's a single family house or a condo or an apartment or something.
Or the street. Obviously, you got to live somewhere.
Yeah, that's not really shelter, but no. So, but, you know, you really only have two choices. Either you buy a place or you rent a place. And yes, all of the other options fall into those categories. You know, if you're with roommates, you know, fine. That you've helps. Got people, you know, splitting it and helping, but you're still either you guys bought it or you're renting with roommates, you know, one or the other. And then you've got, you know, the handful, I shouldn't say handful, but the smaller percentage of, you know, adults, let's say, who, you know, have full-time work and are still living at home. But that is a much smaller percentage. And so, and those can't last forever either. A lot of times you have those people because they can't afford to either rent or buy. And so they're working their way towards that. And so, you know, you've got one of two options, rent or buy. They're both getting expensive. So we're running into this situation where you've got people getting priced out. This is a tough, tough market for first-time home buyers. Yep. You know, these folks want to get their first home, but like you said, we've got such low supply and these prices are going up so high, and now we have rising rates and they're getting priced out, which is then pushing them over to renting, which is then driving the rent prices up.
So now that, let's keep this in mind though, if you're buying your primary residence and you're still buying a single family house, and yet you are still buying a $500,000 house, you get a lower interest rate, and owning a house is still cheaper than renting currently. If you're buying your primary residence, when you start to look at the investment side of things, that's when those lines are starting to get a little blurry. Even with large down payments, you're getting tight, your margins are small. It's the cap rate in Arizona is not what it once was, right? Oh, yeah. It's way tighter. So we are going to get to a point where those primary residences for those smaller houses climb right over 500 if this continues to push like that. So what's that going to do? That's going to force people that can't afford to buy or rent at that type of single family house. Where are these families going when they have 2 to 4 kids? Are they going to a 2-bedroom apartment? Are they going to these apartment complexes, or are we going to see other things impacting rental prices?
Yeah, we'll definitely see things impacting rental prices. But I think in the meantime, like you say, you know, what do these folks do? And, you know, what we've always seen in history and in these big metro areas like Phoenix is exactly, you know, what we're seeing again, which is people keep getting pushed further and further out. And so, you know, in order to find affordability, you've got to drive further and further away from the city areas. Now, in large metro areas like Phoenix, one of the, I guess you can call it, benefits to having, you know, space where they can, number one, go out and find that affordability. But we've got so many people and they've got so much building, is you start to build these secondary city centers, for lack of a better word. So, you know, like here in the Valley, you know, you've got places like, you know, downtown Gilbert, and you've got the Gateway Air Park, which is a big employment center and continuing to grow and is projected to actually end up being the largest employment center in Arizona, you know, probably here within the next, you know, 5 to 10 years. And so you get these secondary hubs, because as people get further and further away from the downtown area, they're not necessarily coming back into the downtown area. They're going to these secondary hubs. And so you start building, you know, this is how you get these large, large metroplexes.
We'll look at Eastmark, right? You got this huge push of buildings out there, and they talk about these huge projects that we were just talking about off radio. We were talking about all of these housing developments going to get pushed towards Apache Junction and out past Mesa, and that huge stretch between
into Pinal County.
And they're going to have to build these houses out there. And then you already have all these building out in Florence and Casa Grande and Santan Valley, and that's where affordability is right now. So you have people living out there, and they're commuting to inside city centers like you're talking about. All those big corporations going out in the Eastmark side of things, like there's buildings going out there.
Yeah, of course. And if you think about this, and you've got like Mesa building their tech corridor, and so you've got huge employers in Pinal with all the electric vehicle manufacturers and semiconductor suppliers and stuff. So the other part of it is, it's not just for people looking for places to live, but it's also the companies looking to put their headquarters. You know, they're not going to, they've got two factors going. It's too expensive if they're going into those city centers, and it's hard to find the land, and their labor's not there. So if your labor is moving further and further out, why wouldn't you go out there? Number one, you're closer to them. And number two, it's cheaper for you to find areas out there and easier for you to find areas out there.
That's the same conversation now that we're looking at in Chandler and Scottsdale and Phoenix. If you put your new commercial hub right in the middle of the city, you better expect to pay more per dollar per hour, because the people you're attracting, the only ones that are even close enough to drive in, are going to be that type of concept. And it's like, you wouldn't do it. So that's the problem. These businesses are looking at it now of like, okay, we can't. Amazon and these other companies and Boeing and all these people, they're trying to go outskirts so they can still have general good labor costs. Chandler's actually been doing it for a while, right? You got the price corridor and a nice little 25, 30 minute drive away is Maricopa. And Maricopa has serviced that area for those jobs for a while now.
Yep.
But that's really where affordability is. So that brings me to another point. When do we start to see these secondary city centers or these secondary suburbs now start to mirror Gilbert Chandler prices and make it even tough out there as well, such as Maricopa? Do we see that in the next 2 to 3 years?
I don't think we'll see it in the next 2 to 3 years, but I don't have a crystal ball. You know, it usually takes some time, but yes, that's where we're going to probably see the majority of the, you know, price appreciation. But yeah, if they start to approach the prices, then that becomes much difficult. You know, if the price difference between living in Chandler or Gilbert or Maricopa is no longer that big, well, you're probably not going to go out there, you know? So I don't think they're going to catch them anytime real soon, but certainly we're going to have, you know, the appreciation. And what will happen is, what we've typically seen, I should say, is, you know, the appreciation rates will just slow down in Chandler and Gilbert, but continue to go, and they'll be going at much higher pace out in those outskirt areas.
So Pete, what, based on everything we're seeing then, right? We're seeing rents increase at an unprecedented rate. We're seeing prices increase at a crazy rate. Something's going to give, right? We've talked about this multiple times.
Yeah.
So what is this all going to lead to? Like, I guess that's the, so, like, where are we heading with this?
Yeah. And this is something to keep an eye on. I would say, especially as we're looking at it from the investment side, which is what else is coming. You know, we've talked about moving out and, you know, expanding those, but what are you going to do for the houses that are still in here and the folks that are still, you know, closer to city as these prices go up? And I think what we'll see is what you've seen again play out in some of these larger metro areas throughout history, which, you know, if you would have asked me 5 or 10 years ago, I wouldn't have thought would be coming to Arizona and our Phoenix market. And now I have to say, not only are they coming, it's only a matter of time. You know, they're coming and these discussions are already happening. And I'm talking about things like rent control. I'm talking about things like rent caps. I'm talking about things like additional subsidized housing. And so these are all things that people in Arizona and the Phoenix market wouldn't have thought would be in the conversation. And yet we see things like the city council down in Tucson already talking about rent caps and rent control. We're seeing the city of Mesa, which is already putting in projects. They just announced at the beginning of this year down in their opportunity zone near downtown Mesa. They're putting in what they call workforce housing. Let's talk about that for a second. So you've got folks that fall into these categories that we're just describing right now, right? Yeah. So
families, and they can't afford the rents.
They're not, but they're not low income, right? So they don't qualify for low income subsidy.
Yep.
So what do you do with these folks? So they don't make enough money to pay for the housing near where they work, but they don't make, you know, their income isn't low enough to qualify for low income housing
and all the other stuff. Yeah.
They're kind of stuck in the middle. Mm-hmm. And so that is where this workforce housing comes in. And so there are, you know, income qualifications and levels there where you're above low income, but you're still below, you know, affordability rates in there. And so if you fall in that middle category, you know, this is now something that we're starting to see pop up. But the rent control and the rent caps, you know, like I said, those conversations are starting now. And this is something that certainly investors, which we've seen a huge, huge number of investors coming into Arizona, that's something that they need to be aware of. Yep. It's gonna affect them majorly.
So those of the listeners that don't necessarily understand entirely what rent control and rent caps means, how does it work? Do they do it by price per square foot? Do they do it per capita?
And I shouldn't say, you know, of course the city could go in there and do it, you know, however they want. But, you know, generally the way it works is you might have, you know, City of Phoenix come in and say, okay, we're instituting, you know, rent caps or rent control. And any property that is a rental property here in the city of Phoenix, starting next year, the maximum you can raise the rent is 3%. For example, don't care. Doesn't matter.
If it's already super high. So is it just starting? Is it like, where's those caps at? Question. You know what I'm saying? That's like, I'm already 3,500. 3% is quite a bit.
You know? So that is, you know, something to keep in mind. Yeah. It's, and again, these are general because there could be specifics that vary from city to city, but generally it's going to be where you are. And so if you're below market, let's say you've had somebody in there for years and years, and you know, you've kept a rent slow. Well, that could come back to hurt you because now you might be $500 under market. And now if somebody moves out, you can't increase it to rental rates. You've got to now deal with this rental cap situation. And if you started way under market, you're going to stay way under market for a long, well, basically forever, you know, unless at some point in the future rents actually decrease and you can try to catch up. But yeah, and so yeah, if you're starting from a higher point, you're still dealing with the same rental cap, but you've got a higher starting point, if you will.
And then we talked about this in other podcasts and other shows, but now we have the vacation rental side, right? Yeah. And so that falls into a different category. It's short-term rental. Mm-hmm. It's short-term housing for vacationers for the most part. But now if you're going to regulate rents and regulate long-term rentals, you're a hand throw away from regulating short-term rentals just the same.
You are. And obviously we'll see more regulation coming in, I would think, for those short-term rentals. But you know, as of right now, most of them are still qualified as hotel or lodging or whatever it is. So, you know, that doesn't fall under those same regulations at this point.
And so, you know, you bring up an interesting point, right? Where these people have kept a little lower rates. They've had long-term tenants, 2-year leases and things like that, where you might not see those 2-year leases come in anymore because they need to be able to rent, increase the rents with the market standards. They don't want a 2-year lease because then they can't grow the rents the same way as if they had with the rent caps. And so that also brings up red flags in my opinion right off the gates, is if a city like Gilbert or Chandler or Mesa, and they come out and say, hey, we're going to institute this starting this date, right? Everybody that's been lower on rent, guess who? Everybody's going to market push right before that because they don't want to fall behind.
If they can, if you've got a lease in there.
If you've got a lease somewhere expiring in the next, because I doubt they're going to turn around overnight and say, hey, starting tomorrow, you can't. But I mean, you're going to see kind of some pandemonia a little bit in the rental market for the 3 to 4 months in between that gap.
You know what else that will do is you'll probably see some selling. Because
investors are going to pull out of their investments.
Why would I want to stay in a market that's telling me what I can do with my own property when I could go to another market where I've got the freedom to do whatever I want with my property?
Which is an interesting point as itself, because I mean, do we have numbers? I mean, I got to check and see if Destiny's got any numbers, or if you got numbers in the side for what's our percentage of market of investors right now? Like, I know you're talking a little bit about home ownership rates, right? We talk a little bit about that today.
Yeah. Overall, I don't know those numbers. I mean, we see, you know, the numbers that are coming in for current purchases of investors. And I think, you know, the fourth quarter, we have the preliminary numbers nationally was somewhere between 20 and 25%. And in the Phoenix market was as high as 40%.
So you're talking about massive amounts of new investors coming into market, right? Yep. Now, obviously, even with rent caps or rent control or things like that coming up, you're not going to see every investor just immediately overnight sell. They would take a lot bigger factors like 1031 stopping or capital gains becoming an issue and like these other outside tax implications that would also impact the investment. But that still doesn't mean you're not going to see a good amount of investors say, hey, my money's better spent in Florida now. My money's better spent in Tennessee and Texas and these other places where my growth potential is still big. You're going to get to a point where now your risk is high and your reward is also really limited. It's like a double-edged sword. Why would I risk more and have a less of a reward in Arizona? So you're going to see some supply come back. And if we're talking about 25 to 40%, somewhere in there, of new home purchases are investors, the first thing you're going to see is people stop buying new ones, right? Like before you start seeing the sales. But like in my mind, right there, that limits demand a little bit, right? Off the bat, supply is going to get a little bit of relief from this.
A little bit. But remember, you know, even when we say a huge number, like, you know, in the fourth quarter, it could have been almost 40% that were investors, but that's of a very small number.
Correct.
You know, so we're talking about supply that was record low. So we're talking, you know, 40% of a one of the smallest numbers we've ever seen. Yeah. And so, yes, the percentage is big, but the overall number is not that big compared to historical numbers.
And it's definitely not something overnight that impacts, but giving the buying power a little bit back to more the homeowners. And honestly, it makes people that have less competitive offers have a little bit more safety in that. You get away from the cash investors coming in and just buying these houses out mm-hmm. from these
potentially.
Primaries.
I would say, you know, you got to also remember it's a city to city thing. And mm-hmm. so it's not going to be, you know, like a state.
All of Arizona.
And so, you know, there are going to be certain cities that are affected and they just might be pushed to neighboring cities. But the other thing, like you said, is look at the home ownership rate as we've got these increasing prices and now rates that people are contending with. Mm-hmm. And so the one thing that we're seeing and we have, and I think I had the numbers down there, the home ownership rate, just so people kind of get this idea, okay, we peaked so these are the percentage of people in the United States that own their own home. We peaked in 2004 at just under 70%. It was 69 and change.
That's a couple years before those prices just skyrocketed.
That was kind of right in the middle.
Right there.
That was right when it was happening, right? But the whole point there was that is when they instituted the super loose lending rules because they had pushed the initiative of everyone should be a homeowner. And so they loosened up all the lending, give loans to basically anybody that's alive, and let's increase this homeownership rate. Well, it worked.
Okay.
It, for that goal, it worked. It drove the homeownership rate up. But you probably had a lot of people buying homes that weren't ready, shouldn't have been there, and other things like that. Now, you know, we saw a drop in the bubble and now we're sitting at kind of slowly rose. I think it dropped, you know, down to below 60%, rose back up to about 65, and now it's falling again. And now we're seeing that because, again, people are starting to get priced out of these areas and we're seeing that number drop. And what you might see, like we said, what happens here? Well, not only are you going to see, you know, the continued migration as we've seen over the last year or two into more affordable markets, Arizona got a big part of that. But as we start to get more expensive, people are going to be pushed into other markets. But the other part of it is there's going to be people that can't leave. Mm-hmm. And so they're not going to be able to afford a home. And so what we'll continue to see and will drive that investor demand is we're going to continue to probably see this homeownership rate drop as people are forced to continue to rent, which goes back and feeds the cycle, which keeps driving those rent prices up.
So this all, you know, and I'm sure I'm alongside a lot of other listeners and stuff when we talk about this is, okay, Arizona, it's getting expensive, mm-hmm. right? But our brother sister state over here in California, their prices are close to almost double in certain markets, in mm-hmm. certain areas.
Yep.
So did rent caps happen there or do we see rent control there? How are they managing this same situation?
Yeah, they've got rent caps and rent control in several cities all up and down California. Absolutely.
And so we're seeing that impact, but prices still climbed, but rents didn't. So does that mean they saw a big loss of investors out in the rental market in California and they went vacation or they left?
That's a good question. So what you had, you know, and I could tell you anecdotally from personal experience, you had a lot of longtime investors in California who had bought at much lower prices, who were locked in with lower payments and things like that. And some of those were still doing okay. But you've got, you know, the other side of it that people aren't thinking about is if you're, you know, they also have very restrictive landlord laws in California where they can't necessarily, it's not easy for them to get somebody out of the property. So you've literally got people
like stuck.
They're stuck. They can't sell their house because they can't kick a tenant out because they're living there and they're paying because of the laws, but they also can't sell it because a new investor doesn't want to come in and buy it with this low rent and this person in there. And you can't sell it to a primary because there's a tenant in there and you can't kick them out. So you do have a lot of investors that are stuck. You know, you've got a lot of investors that have been there for a long time and at lower costs. But yeah, it affects it. Now, California is different in the coastal cities because, you know, that is, you've got a limited supply near a beach, that's always going to attract people. And so you're always going to have
long term usually in those markets.
But a lot of them you're not. Right?
Especially in like really touristy areas.
But yeah, we see it in, you've got the rent controls up in Oregon, Washington, California. You know, one of the things, you know, to consider is we saw at the end of the year, St. Paul, Minnesota, up there in St. Paul, put a rent control in and they immediately saw the backfire when they didn't think it through. You know, in a lot of other places where they've put this in, they'll often exempt you know, housing that's in built within the last 10 years. And the reason is you don't want to discourage a new building, because think about it. What they didn't do in St. Paul, they didn't exclude that. And so what happened then was all the builders pulled out, because if I'm going to construct this new property and it's costing me more and I've got to put in all these input costs and you're now capping my rent, well, then why am I going to build there? I'm not. And so now they actually made their problem worse. And so you've got to balance all of these factors, Art. Yeah. Is it a problem that rents are going up and people can't afford housing? Absolutely. Is rent control the issue? Not usually. You know, usually doesn't help the situation all the way around.
So, you know, to continue to tack onto this as kind of more of a predictive analytical type approach, Arizona is getting more expensive. However, it is still one of the lower end cheaper. It's not the lowest anymore for the big suburbs across the, or the big cities across the country in Phoenix, but it's still one of the lower ones. So what markets are we seeing that have been growing unprecedented that we're going to see have impacts of stuff like this faster than even Arizona? Because like what comes to concern for me is like Boise, right? They can't grow fast enough. The prices are even a little bit higher than Phoenix right now.
Yeah.
And they only have 500,000 people and growing in a huge metro like that. They can't keep up. They can't keep those rates going. So
I think Boise is a little bit of a different situation. You know, my opinion is I don't know if we'll see that in Boise, because I think Boise's got their own set of issues. And not to get too market specific, but I think that situation may fix itself, if you will.
But
you've got other markets like Denver, you know, and Colorado up there. Again, more expensive, you know, faster growth, you know, things like that. And I don't know offhand if they've got it in there yet, but I would imagine it's coming there. Like I said, we've seen it all up and down the West Coast. We're seeing it, you know, in those Midwest big cities, you know, Chicago and Minneapolis, St. Paul areas. You know, and obviously you've got it all up in the Northeast. It's been there forever.
Yeah.
But you know, you still got large metro areas, you know, Dallas and Texas, you know, Houston and San Antonio in there. They've still, you know, they got affordable housing and lots of room. You've got places in Florida, Tennessee, the Carolinas. And so that's part of what you might see is the people that can move, they might keep moving, you know? And so those are factors to keep in mind.
So, I mean, as we, you know, kind of wrap this up, we can start to look at what the final question I would have for you, Pete, is, so what does this mean for both people looking for housing and for new investors coming to the market? Because we're looking at this thing and we're saying, hey, if we start getting capped and we start having this might be one of the last years to buy something as an investment that could still maintain profit numbers that you're looking for.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I would say from the investor perspective, that's not necessarily the way I would be looking at it. I would be more concerned about those coming in. Now, you know, here up in the Phoenix area, I don't see any of that immediately happening, but it's certainly something to keep on the horizon. And certainly if a place is going to be looking at putting in rent controls, I don't know that I'm trying to jump in there before it happens. I'm looking somewhere else potentially if I'm an investor. But what it means for the home buyers out there, you have a lot of people, you know, and we showed this in the last, you know, market update that we did. We've been in a seller's market here in Arizona for, you know, over a decade. And people forget that. They keep waiting for these prices to come down. And we have no supply. And so until that fixes itself, we're not going to get these prices crashing down or coming down. Mm-hmm. The supply's got to fix itself first. And so folks that might be waiting, you know, and say, well, I'll rent until that happens. Renting doesn't look like such an attractive option because you're spending a lot of money and those rents are going to continue to go up. And until the supply corrects itself, we're not going to see the pricing increase or ease here. And so people that are thinking about it right now, I mean, look, if you're waiting, you know, and wanting to rent, that may not be the best option right now because your rent's going to continue to go up and you have no control over that. Whereas at least if you're buying your primary, you can still lock in low rates now. You know, and you're building equity at that point. So even if it's the same and you go, it's the same price between renting and buying. Yeah, but at least you're building equity. You've got tax write-offs. That's your property and you can lock that payment in. You don't have any of that control with rents and those are continuing to go up.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, like I talk to a lot of people, if renting is like, hey, well, I can have roommates and I can do this. And I'm like, remember, guys, you guys can do the same exact thing when you purchase your house.
You can have a roommate.
The difference is now you get a roommate that helps pay your mortgage. Exactly. It's the same concept, right? So if you want a more affordable payment, there are a lot of areas, like I said, for a primary residence that your payment would actually be cheaper than rent right now, Rents are more expensive in a lot of markets than the primary mortgage. So look at what that looks like while rates are still low. And if you need to get a roommate in there, if you need to have family stay with you and split costs, do it while you can. But then again, you still lock in those low prices. And as maybe you grow in your business or you grow in your investments, like things can become more affordable down the road for you. So consider that. And again, we're going to see this continue to climb. We had a lot of questions about rents and where they're heading. We've talked a lot about home prices, but for the near future, we see, or for the immediate future, we're seeing both of these going to continue to increase until we see something shift in our market, whether it be in interest rates, whether it be supply. We need one of these big factors to move before we start to see a shift in any capacity.
Yep. And so, and that might be, like you said, another, you know, couple of years out. So who knows what we'll see.
So awesome, guys. Thanks for joining us today. Super excited about all the stuff coming up this year. So feel free to reach out to questions@kpeliteaz.com. Love to hear your feedback and any other ideas and conversation topics you'd love for us to cover. And we'll see you guys next time.
See you guys.